Job chapter 25. Thank you, Jason. As you're going there, I'm going to give you two songs that you can listen to tonight or tomorrow during your devos, and hopefully I get the names right. One is Your Grace Still Amazes Me, and look it up by the group Fountain View Academy. And it's actually a high school group that is singing out in the middle of Canada somewhere. I have no idea where. But they sing this song, and it's absolutely just beautiful. Your grace still amazes me. And then another one, I think it's a new song. It's called Psalm 23. Say, that's not a new song. Well, it's a new song that they wrote based off of Psalm 23, and the guy that put this group together is Michael Rasmussen, I believe is his name. I think he was a West Coast grad or something, but I just saw that come across my YouTube suggestions, and I tried it out, and they actually took, has anybody done a Zoom conference in the last 6 months? Anybody? Okay. Well, they kind of do that. They take the different views of the person and they record it and put it all together and put all these people from different areas into one song. And it's super cool. Just check it out. And if you have any complaints, come to me and I'll defend myself for what I just gave to you tonight. But I think it'll be an encouragement to you as you get into that. There was one announcement here tonight that you might have seen it on the TVs beforehand, and it said Remote Education Hub on it. We're going to be starting something, not this Monday, but next Monday. And it is we're going to create access for kids, teens, to be able to come and to access the Wi-Fi on a specific set up account underneath our Wi-Fi. If they don't have it at home, they can come to the church from 1 to 3 on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and be able to access that. And this account actually on the Wi-Fi is only set up for a certain time. That way we don't have people hanging out around the church building at all times of night watching Netflix when they should be canceling it. But anyway, this is only geared up for a certain amount of time. And what we're going to do is try to set up socially distant desks where they can come in and be able to bring their own iPad, whatever is provided by the school, and to be able to get their education. And that way, in this sense, no child is left behind as far as their education goes for that. So if you have any questions or if you have somebody that you know that needs something like that, please let them get a hold of me, because there will be a sign-up process and all that for it. Because we want to make sure that we do everything that we need to in order to, again, just like Pastor said, keep the precautions, because we're still trying to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves in the midst of all of this. And yes, Jesus stated that in the New Testament. So we're just trying to be wise. but we're trying to also be strategic in our outreach and to help people when they need to be helped, right? Because we are the hands and feet of Jesus, and this is a strategic opportunity. So if you have any questions, please connect with me. We're going to be trying to set that up for coming up. And yes, I did get in connection with the administrators of the school, and they said, yes, it is a need. So hopefully we will be able to provide that for the right people in our community. So we're going to go to Job, and I'm going to try to do something that I have never done before, and that is trying to get through four chapters, 25 through 28. And you say, how can you do that? I have no idea, but I'm going to try. Because I came into this afternoon, and I told Carlton, I said, I'm just not content with what I have right now. I just didn't feel like it was just put together right for this evening. And so this afternoon, I redid the whole entire thing. And so we'll see how you understand it, if you understand it at all. But I wanted to be able to manage this, because what you have here is the close-up of Bildad's last presentation to Job, and it's only a matter of six verses. And then all of a sudden, Job goes from 26 to 31 of him just straight up talking. Now, did he present those chapters? No, those were presented later on. But he had this huge entire speech here that I have taken four of those chapters and put down into four topics. And we will try to breeze through this as best as we can, but hopefully that in a way that we will understand it. So in Job chapter 25, I titled this A Step in the Right Direction. And you say, what do you mean by that? Because we've seen Job go through this whole entire trek. And it's been a long trek, hasn't it? I started this in March, and here it is September, and we're just halfway through. And we still have the punchline for Job, and it's coming, and it's going to be a long punchline, not in something that we can be, oh, it's going to be long, drawn out, and boring. It shouldn't be, because it's God's scripture, and we should be able to see it and find growth in it and understanding and wisdom. But here we've seen Job going through this and battling and debating with these three supposed friends, and we're seeing him and he has been crying out, and he did not deserve this, in the sense of this wasn't his wickedness that brought about a consequence. It was just for the matter of someone who is right with God, who is connected with God, had a relationship with God, was put through some trials to reveal how big our God is. And in the midst of our trial, we have to point back to Him and keep focused on Him, which goes right along with the message this morning. If we are too busy about ourselves, then we're not able to actually see God in the midst of our trial and put our faith and trust in Him. Right? Just think if Haman would have been put through something like this. He wouldn't have lasted. But Esther was put into her own Job situation. You say, well, it wasn't to the extent of Job. Well, we all have our Job-type situations where we are brought to the point, to the end of ourselves, where all we need to do is look at God. And sometimes we jump right to it and look straight to Him, looking to the author and finisher of our faith. Sometimes it takes us a really long time in order to get there. Sometimes we just need to read more of the Word of God in order to understand more of who He is. And so as we get into this, Job has cried out because of his innocence, but here's the deal. You say, what has Job done wrong? Well, it will be stated soon that the issue that Job has faced in the midst of all of this is the fact that he has spent so much time trying to prove his innocence. When, to be honest, does he need to? Did he ever have to? No. Doesn't the truth always speak for itself? It does. Sometimes lies are put out there and people read into the lies, but lies don't hold up. Just like when you told your mom that you didn't take a cookie when she told you not to, and for some odd reason she just knew because she counted them out ahead of time, or she's got eyes in the back of her head. I'm not sure how she does it, but yet she knew and it came out. The truth does come out, and so Job never really had to explain or justify his innocence, but yet he did. And he just kept going back to him. Yes, I am innocent. Yes, I am. And you're going to see it here. In this passage, you're going to see it come out. Did he ever have to? But tonight, we're going to see him step and make that transition in the story where he's moving in the right direction. All of a sudden, some things are starting to click again. Just another step, just starting to move along that line. So in Job chapter 25, we read these six verses. And I titled this point, A Static Relationship. And you say, why is that? Well, I'll explain after we get through the six verses. Because you're going to get through this and you're going to say, that seems like truth to me. It says in verse 1, then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, dominion and fear are with him. Who? It's God. He maketh peace in his high places. You say, well, how would he do that? Well, he did that by sending somebody out of heaven, didn't he? Someone who was in heaven who wanted to be like God called Lucifer. And he was cast out of heaven along with all of his followers, wasn't he? But he makes peace in the high places. Wherever it might be, God makes peace. In the end, peace will be made. At one point, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. At that point, there will be no more denying. There will be no more long suffering in that case. At that point, judgment will be made and peace. But it says, and peace will be made in high places. Is there any number of his armies? Can you number them? His hosts. And upon whom doth not his light arise? Who cannot see his majesty? You sang that song tonight. Majesty. Worship his majesty. Who has not seen his majesty? There is not one person who can say, they can try to say, but they can't say, that they have not seen his majesty. Say, what do you mean? Well, it says in Romans 1 that every single person has seen the attributes of God by looking at his creation. Folks, I do not see evolutionary process when I look at you and me. I don't. Sometimes when you look at a toddler, you question if they came from an ape. But that is a joke, right? Because as you look at human beings, you cannot see let's just throw a bunch of stuff in an area and hope it explodes and creates a human being, right? Let's destroy something and bring about life. Does that make sense to you? I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. And the timeline is always changing, billions and billions and billions of years ago. Just listen to Bill Nye, the science guy. Please. Because he knows, right? Because he was there, right? Oh, we use the scientific method in order to prove evolution. No, you don't. That has to be, you were there and understood the process, right? And somebody experienced it. Wait a minute, who was there? God was there at the beginning of creation and told us through words in his word that he created everything. Boom. And as you look across, you see God in his creation. You say, what? You see intelligent design. Someone had to create you and me. And it talks about that in Psalms where he formed us. In the womb, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's why we support life, by the way. And it talks about in Jeremiah and how he had purposed in Jeremiah that he would be a prophet before he was even in the womb. Try to fight that. You can't. God created and everyone experiences his majesty. So you say, Bill, Dad, good job. Keep going. Yeah, let's go. Upon whom doth not his light arise? Verse 4, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. If you were to compare, if you say, well, who can actually justify man? Well, no man can justify himself before him. Okay, and this is the difference between God and man. But then it says how even the sun or the moon and the stars and their light that they create. By the way, it is absolutely gorgeous at night when you can look up and see the stars, isn't it? And just to say, okay, yes, God created that. But then in the light that shines, his light shines brighter. It doesn't even compare. It amazes me. Have any of you been to the Answers in Genesis Museum and been in that first show where you go up and some of you probably get really seasick when you're looking up at the ceiling and it just goes all throughout God's universe and how he created it and the size of the earth compared to the sun and Betelgeuse and all of that. It's just absolutely extraordinary. Okay, and just how God created all of that. It's amazing when you look at God's creation, but everything is dim compared to God's majesty. Bill, Dad, keep preaching. You got it. You're doing great. It says, how much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm. What's Job been dealing with? He's been dealing with worms eating at his rotting flesh. And he's talked about worms quite a bit in the grave and how the worms eat man and how low man is. But you know what? Listen. Okay? There's bad news that's out there. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's no way that you can have eternal life and salvation through your own self. This is plain and simple. It's no works. No works. It's for by grace. Are you saved? Okay? And we understand that. There is a barrier between God and man because of our sin. For the wages of sin is death. Okay? You know what? We cannot stop there. If all we know God to be is the doom bringer, but never the gospel giver, we have a static opinion of who he is. And by static, in the sense of, if you go back to literature, if I got this right, I did look up on Google, okay? It's a static character is when you don't see a 4D view of them. You don't really get their feelings and their thought processes. It's not the main character. It's just kind of like the guy that shows up on the scene and he's just holding a drink saying, you know, as they're doing their video, right? It's someone that you really don't know a whole lot about. See, there's a lot of people out there that know that there is a God, but that's as far as it goes. And that's Bildad. See, when you are counseling someone, and as I've stated before, Job is not only for those who are going through the situation, but for those who are helping others go through the situation. As you are counseling other people, you don't just bring the doom and gloom. Because that's only one part of the story. It's not the end of the story. And in fact, the beginning of the story, God created everything out of nothing and created mankind to be able to walk with Him and her. Created a perfect place for to be able to go and to walk with and talk with and have a relationship, because this relationship is what brings Him glory. And so as we get into this, in the very beginning, what He said was good was a relationship with Him. And then we thought it would be better if we were like Him, in the sense of, we need to know what evil is. Because Satan says, well, you'll know what's good and evil. Listen, Adam and Eve already knew what perfect good was. It's God. He is what is good. And yet they decided to go after what would elevate them to what they thought would be His level, to know what is both evil and good. And guess what? Here's the problem. And Bildad is sufficient to, or he thinks he's sufficient in just giving the doom and gloom, but never comes in and says, listen, God cares about you. Yes, He does judge the wicked. But He also loves you. In the midst of the flood, was there any love shown? Who found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Noah. And Noah, not only you, but you can bring your wife and your sons and their wives, and I'm gonna start over with you. And here's life. And here's positive. And I want to have a relationship with you, Noah. I'm going to make a covenant with you, and I will never bring this upon you again. You'll never have a global flood again. And by the way, here's a rainbow. I'm going to prove it to you by showing you that. And then every time that you look at a rainbow, you're not going to think homosexuality or trying to remember all the letters in that name. You're going to think God judges evil, but loves His people. And you say, what are you hating on that group? No, I'm not hating on the group. I'm just saying that Satan has a way of stealing everything that God places for us to remember Him. Even the law that He presented for them to continually go out to Him, somehow people got so focused on the law that they forgot to see God, who created the law. And so here we are again in this doom and gloom that He's presenting, and yet He never presents to Job, but God cares and loves you. When you're on your social media posts this next week, how much doom and gloom are you posting without Jesus? Well, they're on the opposite political party that I hold to. And they're going to destroy America. Sin is destroying America. And the only way to fight sin is with the light of God. And they need the gospel. And so we've got to present the gospel. And we can't hate people so much that we forget to give the gospel. In fact, we shouldn't be hating people at all, because what is it? What was it this morning? Hate comes and there's strife. Why is there so much strife in this world? Why is there a cop sitting off of a street and somebody just walks up. Did you see that video? They just released that not too long ago, and they're fighting for their lives. And then all of a sudden, some of the same people are trying to storm the hospital in order to kill those people, those cops, who are trying to fight for their lives. Well, it must be a political party that's making this happen. No, it's sin. It is sin, please, it's not any political candidate that is going to fix this problem. It's Jesus who's going to fix this. And we are the tool that he is using to evangelize the lost. So don't be a Bildad this week. Be a Christ follower. Because Job responds, and he goes into number 2 here, only a whisper, chapter 26. He goes on and says, "But Job answered and said, how hast thou helped him that is without power? How savest thou the arm that hath no strength? How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? And how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is, to whom thou hast uttered words and whose spirit came from thee?" I mean, whose counsel are you getting this from? But how are you even lifting up those who are down and out? How are you encouraging them by only giving them bad news? Job, let me kick you while you're down. And he goes on and he talks about how in verse 5, dead things are formed from under the waters and the inhabitants thereof. Hell is naked before him and destruction hath no covering. Even the opposition to God, hell, okay? The place of death cannot hide from God. There's no covering there. God can do whatever he wants to do. He stretches out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Earth is on a skyhook, if you want to say it like that. There's no ceiling that it's attached to. It's suspended in the galaxy here. It's orbiting in the way that it is. Here is science being presented to you back in Job's day of the splendor of how God is making everything work. This is God's hand that is active in this. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds. What is that? It's an effect of the water going up into the clouds and then it rains. What? It's the water cycle that they just figured out a few centuries ago. Huh, that's interesting. Maybe they were smarter than what we thought back then. Maybe they weren't the Neanderthals that people say that they are. Maybe they just understood what God is creating. It says, "He pulleth back the face of his throne and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He hath compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end." You say, what are you talking about? As you go out and you look at the waters and as you look off into the distance, isn't it weird how in the horizon all you can see is water in different areas? If you go into the ocean or gone to one of the lakes up north in Michigan and you looked across and all you can see is water, that's it. But yet he's created the boundaries for those. He's put everything into place. He is our creator. And he's going back and Job's just looking at all that God has done. And I'm going to skip down to verse 14. And it says there, "Lo, these are the parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand?" He's saying here that all the things about our God, here it is, that you aren't counseling, you aren't helping anybody out here, but this is who our God is and how amazing he is. And listen, we are only grasping a whisper of what he can do. Oh, if we actually experience the absolute potential of our God. Have you ever prayed expecting God to answer your prayer? Whoa, wait, no, that's way beyond what he could do, right? You know, do you know our God could totally dismiss COVID-19? And I'm meaning like the sickness and all the fear that goes with it. Because I think one of the biggest problems that we've got right now is the fear. Have you noticed that? I mean, everybody's at each other's throats. It's scary out there. Taylorville is very calm compared to everything else that's going on out there. We have you thanked God for Taylorville lately? Oh, Taylorville, we got to get out of here. Got to get my kids out of here as fast as possible because they got to have a life and success. Believe me, I think Taylorville is way more successful than some of the craziness that's going on in our big cities that are supposed to be all successful. Have you thanked God for Taylorville and the calmness that He's brought to our area that we haven't had to experience the craziness of burned down buildings all across? But you know what? In one moment, God could take it all away. Because He has the power to do it. Why doesn't He? Well, that's a question for God. I don't always know the answer to everything. Figures, right? Just ask my wife. But as you're getting into this and you're trying to understand the scope of things and everything that can happen, I mean, if God wanted to flood the earth again, He could, but He won't. Because He's promised that He wouldn't. If God wanted to add another planet, He could. Because our God is all powerful. You say, why are you telling us all this? Because we have only experienced a whisper of what His potential is. We do not know the magnitude. And you say, well, again, why are you telling us? Because the bigger our God is in your mind and in my mind, the more I am prone to worship Him. Why? Because my God desires a relationship with me. Not like Bildad's made-up God. But my God wants a relationship with me, and if I'm on His side, shouldn't I just be thankful and worship and sing majesty with all that I've got? And man, only a holy God. Who else can rescue me from my failings? Oh, I'm too bad. I'm too rough. Nope, He can't do it. The answer is only a holy God. Not, can I save myself from my failings? No, God, only a holy God can save me from my failings. We've only grasped a whisper of who our God is. That's amazing, folks. That's wonderful. That just draws us to worship Him even more. Now, some of you tonight struggle with one thing about me. Well, maybe more. But at least one thing. See, I have been taught in college. See, this is what they teach you. And you go to Preacher Boys class and they teach you dynamics of the voice. And the dynamics of the voice is that they say you want to be able to keep people's attention. So you want to not just be at this level at all times. You want to be able to soften the level at times. Okay? And you want to be able to quiet it down a little bit. But some of you, and in here tonight, you really struggle when I silently start talking like this. And you're saying, what is He saying? What is He saying? Is He talking about me? Some of you are doing this, right? Think about the potential of just a whisper versus the dynamic of the voice that can get so loud that you can expand your voice across a city. We don't want to scare the neighbors, right? But this is the picture that we're getting with we are just experiencing a slight whisper. Did I even catch everything that he did? Did I even catch all of who he is? I mean, isn't there more? Yes, there is more. There's way more. Way beyond our understanding. And that's the God that we serve. And as you go on and you go on to into point number three, you see here the difference. He's saying in chapter 27, you say, what does he start with? He starts with verse 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, as God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who hath vexed my soul. So he still thinks that God is coming at him. He's the one that vexed there has made my soul bitter. He's wrecked. He's messed up. There's no fix it, Job. Fix it. He doesn't have a fix it Felix coming in and hitting him with a hammer and it's boop, all better. Only some of you got that. But as you're getting into this and you're saying he's come at me. I've been wrecked. But he says, all the while my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. I'm wrecked, yet he's still empowering me to keep living. He's still here with me right now. He's still present in my life. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you till I die. I will not remove mine integrity from me. You take my integrity, you take who I am. I will not justify all of your speeches to make you happy and say it must have been me being wicked that deserved this. He is committed to his integrity because God is still with him. Do you know how many times Christians have faltered because everybody else was telling them that they were doing it wrong? Well, you've got so many issues in your life. You must be doing it wrong. You must be worshiping God in the wrong way. You must not have it right. You might want to add a few standards to your life in the sense of this legalism or this type of religion that you might want to add in order to make it all better. And if you just do this, then you'll be able to get out of your trial within like 3 weeks. I think we could put a time limit on God and how long he wants to work on you. And so let's just take, well, if you just pay these things and do this and crawl on this and wear this. He says, I don't know. I don't care how many times you're coming at me. I know that my God is with me. What is he saying? I have a relationship with my God that is far beyond your view of him. You know what he's saying here? You don't even understand who this God is who wants to have a relationship. And yet I know, even though Job doesn't understand who's actually come at him, he thinks God's come at him, but he still knows he is here with me. I will not falter in that. He is the one empowering me. Listen, folks, we still do not need self-empowerment, even though that's a big thing in our generation. Please do not teach your children that. Self-empowerment got no one anywhere except for themselves. Again, that is focused on self and the pride and all that we can do and I can do and it's all because of me. Christians are God empowered. You're right. You can't do this on your own. You're right.
These things are too much to bear. You're right, because you are inadequate. That's why it says, complete in thee no work of mine could take thee, Lord, the place of thine. Complete in Christ. Not in me, in Him. And so that's what he's resting in. And the very fact, and he says, I know whose side I am on. And he goes on, and for the sake of time, I can't get into a whole load of it, but in verse 13, he starts describing the wicked and the opposite and those who are on the other side. He says, I know which team I'm batting for. This is the portion of a wicked man with God and the heritage of oppressors, which they shall receive of the Almighty. And it goes on and it says in verse 21, get this, the east wind. Anybody recognize that term? The same wind that destroyed the home of his children and killed all of his children. And he says, the east wind carried him away and he departeth, and as a storm hurleth him out of his place, for God shall cast upon him and not spare. He would fain flee out of his hand, and shall clap their hands at him and shall hiss him out of his place. And going on and saying, God will judge those who are against him. And he says, and even stated earlier on in that chapter, he's saying some of them might have some good times in their life as far as they feel like they're getting success, but it will come a point, at some point, they will be judged. And he says, that's them, I'm me, and I know God is with me, this is his team, I'm on his team, I don't care what you say. I'm standing right here on his side where he's at. This is how committed Job is. How committed are we to the truth of being on God's team? How flighty do we become whenever we feel like our team is losing? Do you ever have people in high school that switched or tried to switch schools because the team was losing all the time? Because that was their whole entire life, was to win a game. So I'm going to switch. Oh, in the Christian school, it happened all the time. Well, I'm going to go to Pena to win a football game. Really? Have you seen their squad for the last 20 years? You know, that was back in my day, you know. They were so pumped to go and lose with the Pena squad. Really? They just wanted to switch whenever they felt like they were losing. Whenever they felt like it wasn't going their way. Christians, we cannot give up because it feels like it's going the wrong way. Because in the end, what did I say earlier? Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God wins in the end. He wins. Well, what's happened out in California? God still wins. That's the difference. Sometimes I'm going to walk through trials. Sometimes I'm going to struggle through things. But yet, we still win. As you go on in verse or chapter 28. And I really love this. It says in chapter 28, he starts talking about mining. Okay? And since we're in coal mining territory, some of you might understand what's going on here. I never coal mined, so I really don't understand all that's going on here. But you'll get the picture. Surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness and searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. He's going in and he starts describing, and for the sake of time, I'm trying to summarize some of this. And the sense of it's going in and saying there's people that go out and they mine for certain precious things that are useful to them, whether it be gold, silver, whether it be coal, whatever it might be. They're going in there. They're trying to find everything that they possibly can. They're going to the deepest depths of trying to take as much as they possibly can of this. And some of you know what that's all about, because all of a sudden there's some settling in your home in Taylorville, and then you realize, oh, it's probably because of some mining that was going on underneath. I was just at, got a playset. We've got one in our backyard, and we picked it up from somebody, and they said that they were having a really hard time selling their house because their house settled because of the mining that was going on, and not everything was the same, and it was a really bad process for them, and so. As we understand what's going on, and they're searching and searching, and saying, why is he using this illustration? Well, he goes on and says, and he talks about how in verse 12, but there shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? So it says, just as mining, as we go and search this out, where can we find wisdom? Wisdom, how to live life, how to apply truth, how to take the next step. Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. And he's going and he's describing how you can't go and just find wisdom found within mankind. You can't just go out and explore it out. You can't conquer it. There is no manifest destiny of wisdom. And what does he go on? He says down in verse 20. If you go into verse 20, it says, whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? You can't mine it. You can't buy it. You can't steal it. You can't do all of these things. Verse 23. God understandeth the way thereof. And he knoweth the place thereof. For he looks to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. What are you talking about? He has specified for everything the way that it should be. He made it exactly the way that it should work. If the sun was any closer than what it is, how long would the earth last? Anybody know? Not very long. What if it was farther away? Well, it'd be like Michigan. Cold, freezing, your nose, everything frozen. Handles frozen everywhere. Things breaking off. So God made everything exactly the way that it's supposed to be. So he must know how it all works. If he's the creator, if he's the designer, if he's brought it all together, then he must know how to work through this life. It goes on, it says, when he has made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. By the way, someone out in California thinks it's Mother Earth that is angry at us, and so that's why we're having fires. There is no such thing as Mother Earth. No, that is very true. There isn't. Because it's made up. It's not truth. Listen, if our earth is going to be destroyed, it's going to be by God, as he stated in the Word of God. Not because some mystical being out there that we've made up in Pocahontas is going to get mad at us. That's the way it is. And it goes on, then did he see it and declare it? He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. That verse would be good to post on social media this week. That verse would be good to propose at McDonald's gossip session this week. Why? Because that's the truth. It's not going to be, folks, yeah, you might get mad at me. Okay. All right. Trump is not my savior. And neither is Biden. Because there's religious leaders on both sides that think that they are. Biden thinks he's got a plan. Well, why don't you, to fix everything. Why don't you tell us now so we can fix it? Is it something to hold back? Well, if Trump's got a plan, you know what? Guess what? It doesn't matter. If the libertarian, Jo Jorgensen, I think is her name, if she's got a plan, guess what? She's still not going to be the savior of the world. They're only a human being. And so therefore, we need to go back to this. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. You want wisdom this week? Fear God. If you want to give wisdom this week, tell him to fear God. You say fear like it. It's a respect and an awe of who he is because of all that we've understood before all of this. Only a whisper that we get to experience of who he is. That's what we get to be in awe of and fear of and respect. That's who our God is. That's who we get to worship. That's wisdom. And if you want understanding, it's to flee evil. Destruction is evil, folks. If you got a problem with me, come and tell me. Don't burn my house down. I've worked way too hard on my house. That's my home. That's my refuge for my family. That's where we lay our head down to sleep. If you've got a problem with me, don't burn the church building down. That's where I come to work. If you've got a problem with me, come and let's talk about fearing God together and depart from destruction. If you've got a problem with me, let's not gossip. If you got a problem with me, let's not tell other people. Let's not spread the news like it's some sort of a wildfire and contagious. I'm not saying that this is happening. I'm just stating that this is what is going to help fight the division that's going on in America today. God. Fearing him and departing from evil. Wow, that was an action-packed 4 chapters, wasn't it? But it's very much needed. I wish we could give a State of the Union address with this. And some might rip that one up too. But at least the gospel would be shared. Let's pray. Dear Lord, God, I hope I handled this correctly in declaring your truth. God, there's so much here. There's so much details that we've probably skipped over, and God,
just trying to present your truth and getting the step in the right direction. God, there's people here tonight that are in a trial. And they're asking a whole lot of questions. They don't know if they deserve it because of something that they've done or what's going on. They're just asking a lot of questions. There's people tonight that are helping people through the trial. And maybe they've started out with condemning them and forgetting the gospel. God, we're all in different places, and we just ask that you would work in all of us in seeing the truth of tonight and the fact that, God, you want a relationship with us. Yes, you will judge, but you also offer life. God, we can know that you are amazing and we're only experiencing a whisper. You are so much bigger than what we could think. God, thank you for letting us know which side we can be on and that there is a winning side. Help us to stand on your team. God, help us to find wisdom by fearing you and understanding by departing from evil. God, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.